अखण्डस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वापतन्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुधापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कान्त राधाकान्त नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचना गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां भावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामी नित्यनामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पश्चतदेशधारिणे Hare Krishna. It is truly my pleasure, my honor, and my great fortune to be with all of you today. We are celebrating Balaram Jayanti in a way that many of us have never celebrated before, where we are simultaneously in separation from one another and united together with each other. Union in separation is very much at the heart of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And our worshipable acharyas and Srila Prabhupada, who personified and represented all of them in their fullest form of divine grace, he taught that Balaram is especially important because we cannot approach Krishna without the mercy of Lord Sri Balaram. Balaram gives spiritual strength. And spiritual strength is so crucial to overcoming the obstacles on the path of pure devotional service. Srila Prabhupada explains that in this physical world, people are very much attracted to strength, physical strength in the form of strong bodies, or strength in the form of having large militaries, weapons, or there's academics who have the strength of tremendous intelligence. There's scientists who have the strength of so much perception into the subtle realities of physical nature. Strength is something that attracts us. But Srila Prabhupada explains that the source of all strength is spiritual. Because after all, if the Atma, the soul, is not in this body, then there is no intelligence. There is no power even to move, what to speak of, to discover, to create. So it is that Atma, that spirit soul, that is the source of all the strength, of all the people, of all species of life. Mamaivam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. And why does the soul have that strength? Because it is part and parcel of the supreme source of all opulences. Aishwaryasya samagrasya viryasya yashashashriya. Krishna is all attractive because he has these fortunes, these opulences, these excellences to the fullest, limitless extent. And he is the origin of these opulences, and also he possesses these opulences unlimitedly forever. And whatever strength there is in the soul, it's because we're part. Like the sun is the complete power giving off sunlight and heat. And because a sun ray is coming from the sun and is part of the sun ray can also give light and heat. So Krishna, the absolute truth, is the source of all beauty. He is the fullness of eternal strength and knowledge and fame and renunciation and wealth. Karana Karanam. Krishna is the source of everything that exists, the cause of all causes. And Daivi Heshu Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratiya. Mame Vamye Papagyante Mayam Eta Tarantite. Krishna, who is the creator of everything that exists, has given us a glimpse into the truth of how we could be happy, even while living in this ever-changing world where everything must deteriorate and apparently die, which is really just manifestations of change. Krishna tells us Maya is very difficult to overcome. These three modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, are like ropes that bind us, keep us trapped, and drag us into so many aspirations and so many complications and so many karmic consequences. Very difficult. But one who takes shelter of me, one who surrenders to me, can easily cross beyond it. So it is this taking shelter of Krishna and striving according to our capacity to live in harmony with what pleases Krishna. And it is in cleansing our hearts through satsang, sadhana, hearing and chanting God's names and glories, remembering the Lord, praying to the Lord. Saravana kirtana smarana bandana pada sevana dasyade pujana sakijana atmanivedana. These nine processes of devotional service comprise the heart of bhakti, which are meant to actually, in every situation, give us the opportunity to go deeper and deeper into seeking shelter of Krishna's grace. And all the dangers of this world are very much friends of a devotee if they help us to try our very best according to our capacity to overcome them, and then to ultimately realize that there's powers beyond me. I'm not the controller, I'm not the proprietor, I'm not the enjoyer ultimately. And like Gajendra, like Draupadi, like the Vrijavasis when dangers came to Vrindavan, we turn to Krishna. The Vrijavasis, they loved Krishna. Even they were not consciously aware that he was God, because they loved him so intimately, so deep, that their love for Krishna was beyond the reverence that one approaches the Supreme Almighty God. They just loved Krishna as a friend, as a child, as a lover. But whenever great dangers came, whether it be forest fires or rains coming from Indra, or asuras, naturally, they turn to Krishna. They simply turn to Krishna in every situation. Whether it was a fearful situation, whether it was an enjoyable situation, whether it was hearing Krishna's flute and remembering him and weeping tears of loving ecstasy, in every situation they just knew Krishna. And in this way, all of their emotions were completely pure and transcendental. So Krishna appears in this world. Yada yada yadharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. To remind us of what we have forgotten. That Krishna is our only shelter. That to remember Krishna with love is the most pure and perfect way of responding to any situation that may come to us. And they're not always easy. At this time throughout the world, the coronavirus, COVID-19, is causing so much disease, suffering, and even death. And hundreds of millions of people, billions of people, are directly or indirectly being affected by it. And some are in lockdown. And the place that we normally take shelter in the form of Radharani and Krishna's temples, for me, Radha Gopinath temple, where the ultimate shelter is found, we're separated. There's so much restriction for good reasons. But Radha Gopinath, they're reminding us of how important it is to come together. Sometimes we don't understand the value of something until it's either taken away or appears to be being taken away. So those moments we could come together to be with each other, to chant, to dance, to hear about Krishna, to see the beautiful forms of the Lord together. In remembering, in an eagerness to be there, we are there. And somehow or other, Krishna arranges in so many ways where we could be united with each other and we could be united with Krishna through whatever facility is there. In many ways, practicing bhakti in this material world is not about making everything go the way we want it to go. Of course, as human beings, we make our plans and we make our efforts so that things go the way we go, especially when it is the will of Srila Prabhupada and our gurus and Krishna. But inevitably, they won't. So the art of living in a spirit of devotion is we learn to adjust ourselves to whatever circumstance is there to engage in devotional service. Chanting Krishna's names, helping others to be affected by the love of Krishna in whatever way possible according to those times and circumstances. When Srila Prabhupada was on the Jaladuta, he had certain ideas and plans of how to expand the mission of his Guru Maharaj and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But at the same time, we see whatever happened, he was never discouraged. He adjusted with Krishna in the center, with pleasing Guru and Krishna in the center of his life. And however impossible things may be, there's a way to adjust to that situation to keep Krishna in the center of our life and to keep that fire of the desire to serve Lord Chaitanya and our Guru's mission in the forefront of our life. So how is it possible if we're all alone at home, or we're just with the same people of our family day and night, and there's so much impending possibilities of disease and death, and there's very little association we can get with people physically. We can't even go out so much. Bhakti teaches that even that is a perfect arrangement to make spiritual progress. If we just adjust whatever is required, especially our mindset, in a way that the sacred principles of bhakti are preserved. And we see in many ways through this internet technology, our Krishna conscious love of God is spreading in ways that never did before, to people we never reached before. So taking the opportunity and adjusting to the opportunity is a wonderful thing. And feeling separation from one another and striving to connect with one another in whatever way we can, either by prayer or in our pujas, or through telephones or internets or computers or through reading and chanting. There's many ways we can connect with one another. Srila Prabhupada said, if I am chanting Hare Krishna and you are chanting Hare Krishna, and we are actually together when we remember each other. Because in Krishna, all unity, all inclusiveness is forever present. In Krishna, we are never separated. When we're separated from Krishna, then even if we're physically right next to each other, spiritually we are We are isolated. So spiritual strength is required. And Balaram is the very personification of spiritual strength. Balaram is Krishna. There is no difference. The one supreme absolute truth has manifested in expansions for the purpose of lila, for the purpose of divine eternal pastimes, and for the purpose of facilitating the giving of mercy and the very creation itself of this material world. Krishna's first expansion is Balaram. They have the same power, the same beauty. Srila Prabhupada writes that the difference between Krishna and Balaram is Krishna's form is like a monsoon rain cloud, and Balaram's like a spring cloud. And their lila is so significant because it's the very heart of all of existence. Because Balaram is God with full power, non-different than Krishna. Is Krishna himself. But Krishna and Balaram assume these two forms. And Balaram's role is simply to serve. To serve and facilitate Krishna's pleasure. Balaram, he's God. Many of us, we want a position, we want a role, so that we can enjoy, so that we can control. But here is the supreme absolute truth. Balaram, his only aspiration is to serve, to give pleasure to Krishna. And what is it that gives pleasure to Krishna? To facilitate loving relationships between Krishna and all the devotees. Balaram is not just directly serving Krishna for Krishna's pleasure. Balaram knows what Krishna really wants. He expands himself to be the spiritual world of Goloka. The abode of the Lord is the expansion of the energy of the love of Balaram. He appears, manifests himself, non-different, as the seat in which Krishna sits on, his bed, his jewels, his umbrella, his slippers, everything. The whole spiritual world is manifesting from Balaram. To facilitate loving relationships. When Yashoda Mai picks up a jewel that is actually a manifestation of Balaram himself, she offers that jewel with her Vatsalya Bhav, with her parental motherly love to Krishna. And how much that love, Krishna is only pleased by love. He doesn't need the quantity of our wealth or our strength or our beauty or our influence or knowledge. He's patram pushpam palam toyam. Whether we have big or little, Krishna is only concerned with one thing. The intention to please him with love. So when Yashoda Mai, with her motherly love, offers that jewel to Krishna, the jewel is manifested from Balaram so that Yashoda can give it with love and Krishna taste the sweetness of her love. when Srimati Radharani takes a jewel and offers it to Krishna, takes a flower from the forest of Vrindavan, all of these, or brings Krishna his slippers after they dance. These are all manifestations of Sri Balaram, and Radharani takes that manifestation and offers it to Krishna with her limitless, supreme, ecstatic love. And how much it gives pleasure to Krishna. And every gopa and every gopi and all the cows and all the peacocks who are dancing and the parrots that are singing, they're all living in Vrindavan. And they're all charmed by Krishna in Vrindavan. And this is all arranged by Balaram to facilitate loving relationship. Balaram, truly in the mood of the servant of the servant of the servant. And that's where he finds his pleasure. Not in enjoying, but in serving. And this is not the type of service that we think of in the material world where we're subjugated by someone. This is higher than any experience in any creation, is to serve God with love. And even higher than that is to be the servant of the servant, which means to help others to find the treasures of the pleasures of serving Krishna with love. That is Balaram. So he manifests as Goloka, and he manifests as limitless, eternal facilities for Krishna to enjoy along with his devotees. Limitless facilities for Krishna's devotees to offer to Krishna and for Krishna to reciprocate. And Balaram is also Krishna's elder brother eternally in the spiritual world, where all the rasas that give Krishna pleasure and in which Krishna gives his devotees pleasure, Balaram fully, enthusiastically, eternally enacts all of them. Dasya Ras, he's a servant of Krishna. Whatever Krishna wants, he's there to do. Santaras, he manifests as the abode of Krishna to give all facilities for Krishna's pleasure. Sakiras, he's Krishna's best, foremost, intimate, loving friend, sharing playful pastimes forever. Vatsalya Ras, as Krishna's older brother, he's so much throughout the day, throughout the night, concerned with protecting Krishna, with nourishing Krishna, with giving guidance to Krishna, as an older brother, a loving brother does. And in Madhurya Ras, he manifests himself as Srimati Radharani's own younger sister, Ananga Manjari, to participate in serving and giving pleasure to Sri Radharani and Krishna in every possible way, in the most intimate leelas of Vrindavan as a gopi. So this is Balaram, all-pervading, limitless. His name is Shesha because he's so much eager to serve, and Ananta because his love and his service is unlimited and forever. Ananta Shesha. Shankarshan because he's bringing all of us together in the loving service of the Lord. When beyond Goloka, Krishna first expands as Balaram, and then Balaram expands as Mahashankarshan and the Chatur Vyuha. Shankarshan, Aniruddha, Vasudev, Pradyumna. And they create the spiritual world outside of Goloka, where there are limitless Vaikuntha planets, eternal abodes where different features of the one supreme God eternally engage in loving exchanges with pure, enlightened lovers of God. And from Mahashankarshan and Chaturvyuha, the Lord manifests Narayan, the Lord of Vaikuntha. And when it comes time for the creation of material existence from a secondary Chaturvyuha, Lord Balaram expands himself as Karanodakshayi Vishnu, or Mahavishnu, where from his own body comes the Karana, or causal ocean. Such infinitely sweet, pure mercy, grace is in the form of this ocean coming from the body of the Lord. And on that ocean, Lord Balaram, he manifests as Anantashesha, where Lord Narayan is resting upon him like a bed. And Mahavishnu, he closes his eyes and is as if in a mystic sleep and in a apparent dreamlike state. The Mahatattva, the whole cosmic manifestation in its potential state of pradana, is manifested. And then that Mahavishnu, with a glance from his lotus eye for a moment, he activates. He creates time. He activates the three modes of material nature. And he also impregnates Mother Nature with all living entities that are destined to take birth in all the universes throughout the limitless creation within this cloud of the Mahatattva. From Mahavishnu, limitless universes manifest. And then Balaram, through Karanadakshayi Vishnu, expands his Garbhodakshayi Vishnu to reside in each and every universe. And meanwhile, Balaram is Anantashesha to give support, to give basis and facilitate. He's actually holding up in place all the universes and all the planets and all the universes by his inconceivable mystical strength. And Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, from him, Lord Brahma is born from Atmabhu, from a lotus that springs from his navel. And it is Lord Krishna who is manifest as Balaram, who manifests as Karanodakshayi Vishnu, and then Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, who gives spiritual knowledge to Balaram, making him the first guru among living entities within this universe. As Mahavishnu, through his breath, the Vedas manifest. The Vedas, especially the heart of the Vedic literatures, the essence of the Vedic literatures, are not just words composed by man. They're actually coming from the very breath of God. This is so significant, because in our life, how valuable is breath? Nobody could live without breathing. We take for granted, but actually every time you take a breath, that means every time you have the strength to exhale, you can't inhale unless you first exhale. That exhalation and inhalation, every time you do, it's saving your life. It's preserving your life. If that stops, you cannot survive. Prananath. Krishna's one of the names that we have, is he's the very Lord of our prana, of our most intimate, essential life air or life breath. He is the life breath of all living beings because he's the source of everything. From his breath, this most sacred, intimate part of life, the life of God, comes Vedas. And the Lord entrusts Vedic knowledge to Brahma. Why? Because all the people who are conditioned by forgetfulness of Krishna, who are in this material existence, the Vedas and the various avatars of Krishna and the various saints who are holders of true transcendental knowledge are here to open the doors and show us how to move through the door into the spiritual world of Ananda Shakti, where the energy of pure happiness is all pervading for everyone. And the Lord, from Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, he appears as Kshirodakshaya Vishnu to be the Vishwatma and the Paramatma. He's the Lord of the entire creation as Mahavishnu. He's the Lord of the universe as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And he's the Lord who's seated within the heart of every living being as Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. And that Kshirodakshaya Vishnu who's living within our hearts forever, seeing everything we do and hearing everything we hear and recognizing every thought and who never forgets. Krishna tells in Gita, Neha Bikramana Sosti Pratyavayo Navidyate Svalpam Apyasya Dharmasya Trayate Mahatobayat. That any progress we make in spiritual life on the path of devotion is never lost. It can, by misusing our free will, be forgotten, but it is never lost. Why? Because Krishna, as the Paramatma in our heart, never forgets. And anything we do in positive spirit to please him, under the guidance of the great souls, that is bhakti. Krishna never forgets that. Whatever other things we do, whatever unfavorable things we do, those things will affect us, to cause us to forget or to suffer for some time, or sometimes even to enjoy temporarily. But eventually they're washed away by the powers of time and karma. But whatever spiritual progress we make is forever. It's the wisest, most intelligent of all investments to use a precious moment to please God, to uplift others, to love Krishna and to show compassion to others, to be an instrument of Krishna's compassion to others, is at the very heart of bhakti. It's the culmination of yoga, of religion, of dharma, and of life. So Balaram facilitates everything. And therefore, it is said that one cannot approach Krishna without the mercy and blessings of Balaram. When we take shelter of Balaram, Balaram gives us the spiritual strength to remember Krishna and to please Krishna and to remain faithful to Krishna in every situation. And Balaram is the Adi Guru. He's the original Guru, and all the Gurus of this world are representations of Balaram. Therefore, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur composed in his Guru Astaka, Yasya Prasada Bhagavat Prasaru, Yasya Prasada Nagati Gotopi, that unless we please our Gurus, we cannot please Krishna. If we please our Guru, Krishna is pleased. If we displease our Guru, Krishna is not going to be pleased. Because the Guru is the very manifestation of the love and the mercy of Balaram. The Guru never claims to be God. Even Balaram, he just wants to serve. And the Guru teaches us the joy and the value of this mood of seva or service. When Krishna appears in this world as the various avatars, they are also manifestations of Balaram's mercy. When Krishna appeared as Lord Ramchandra in the Treta Yuga, Lord Balaram appeared as his younger brother, Lakshman. And for those who are acquainted with Sri Ramayan, we know that Lakshman, his life, his soul, his everything was to facilitate the happiness and the pleasure of Lord Ram in every way. When they were little children, he was his constant associate. When they would play, when they would learn, Lakshman and Ramchandra were inseparable. And when Ram was banished to the forest, Lakshman, although he wasn't banished, he had the beautiful kingdom of Ayodhya to enjoy his whole life. He had a beautiful, wonderful wife. He had everything. There was no reason to go to the forest for 14 years, except that the only happiness of Lakshman was to serve Ram in every way. And during those 14 years, there are so many episodes of Lakshman sometimes becoming very angry for the protection and the service of Lord Ram. He never slept at night. He would remain awake in the forests, guarding and protecting Ram and his beloved Sita. That was Lakshman. And Ram would give Lakshman very, very difficult instructions. And oftentimes, they created great heartbreak for Lakshman. To make a pyre of fire for Sita, to protect Sita in so many ways that implicated Lakshman. And Lakshman prayed, "Next time I incarnate, I will be your older brother." And in the next birth as Balaram and the next birth as Nityananda Prabhu, with the same spirit of serving, but he also had the natural role to even disagree in his total obedience to serve the Lord. It is all Leela. So, the story of the birth of Balaram is what we are celebrating today in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Haribamsa, in the Gopal Champu, and in the commentaries of the great Acharyas. We find so much beautiful treasure of information about Lord Balaram's appearance in this world. Devaki and Vasudev, on the day of their marriage, Kamsa, who was the cousin brother of Devaki, to show his deep affection for his sister, was driving them on the chariot to their home. And that voice came in the sky, a divine voice. Kamsa, you are a fool. The eighth child of your sister Devaki will be the cause of your death. Kamsa was so fearful, so angry, how suddenly his loving sentiments of pleasing his sister became a horrible manifestation of hatred. And he drew a sword to sever the head of Devaki at that moment. His arms, each one was as powerful as 10,000 elephants. He was a mystic. He was a yogi with so much supernatural power. And with all of his strength, he was about to kill his sister. But somehow, Vasudev pacified him. And eventually, Kamsa, out of fear, kept Devaki and Vasudev in prison, in an underground prison in Mathura. And every time a child was born, as soon as the word came to Kamsa, he would come down and kill the child. Six children were born, and six children were killed in their infancy by the cruel, envious, selfish Kamsa. And he actually thought, he was convinced that he was doing the right thing. That's the power of Maya. The deluding potency can delude a person to think he's doing the right thing or she's doing the right thing, even if it's completely contrary to one's own self-interests or others. It is described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and Srila Prabhupada writes so nicely in his commentary of Srimad Bhagavatam that the great sage Marichi had six sons, and they made an offense to Lord Brahma, and they displeased their father, and ultimately they had to appear as the grandchildren of Hiranyakashipu. And then later, they came as the Satgarbhas. You see, these were great personalities who somehow or other in the Leela of the Lord came to represent different demoniac propensities. And as soon as they were killed by Kamsa, they actually were liberated from that curse. And in course of time, resumed their illustrious, enlightened position. So the six children represented lust, anger, envy, greed. Lust, envy, anger, greed, arrogance, and illusion. And it is described that through bhakti, Devaki represents bhakti. And Kamsa represents fear of material existence. Because Kamsa invoked fear in the heart of Devaki. And in that fear, she took shelter of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes tell us that one of our biggest problems is we don't have enough fear of Maya. If we're if we have that healthy fear of Maya, we become fearless. How is that? Because in the fear of Maya, we are very attentive. If you're walking on a tightrope, if you're not afraid of falling, you'll probably fall. So material existence, when we're going back on this tightrope back to Krishna, we have to be very careful to remain on the path, to preserve our good character. Under all circumstances. So Kamsa representing fear of material existence means that a devotee is very careful to live with humility, with gratitude, and with spiritual courage, and also to know that we need to take shelter of Krishna. We need to take shelter of the strength of Balaram to protect us and help us overcome all the obstacles that will inevitably come before us. And through this, then lust and anger and all of these anartas or unwanted things are cleansed from our heart. So after Devaki became completely purified in this way, according to this analogy, then Balaram, the supreme servitor of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes say he's the supreme personality of servitor Godhead. Krishna, who only wants to serve Krishna. Balaram appeared in the womb of Devaki just to prepare her womb for Krishna's arrival. When Devaki became pregnant with Balaramji, she became so full of happiness and so effulgent that everyone could see a certain light. And when Kamsa saw it, he was thinking, maybe it will be the seventh child. Look at what is, he was very careful. Look at what she has become now that this child is in her womb. It was at that time that Krishna, he called for Yogamaya and instructed Yogamaya that you should transfer my beloved Shankarshan Balaram from the womb of Devaki into the womb of Rohini, who was now under the shelter of Nanda Maharaj in Gokul Dham. And you should appear as my sister in the womb of Yashoda. And then I will appear. So in this way, Rohini, she was wife of Vasudev. She was living in Gokul and was 7 months pregnant. One night at midnight, when she appeared to be soundly sleeping, she had a vision. In the vision, she had a miscarriage. When so startled, she woke up and she found that the child was gone. Mysteriously, there was no child inside of her anymore. She did have a miscarriage. And she was feeling great lamenting as a mother. Then Yogamaya spoke to her and said, actually, this is all the Lord's arrangement. I am now going to transfer the child of Devaki into your womb. And therefore this child will be named Shankarshan, one who unites the two families. And it was at that moment that Balaram entered into the womb of Rohini. In the spiritual world of Goloka, Rohini is the eternal mother of Balaram. And that same Rohini descended with Krishna's entourage in his pastimes in this Bhoma Vrindavan. So Balaram entered into Devaki's womb to prepare for Krishna's appearance there, and then he entered into the womb of his original mother, Rohini. And then Krishna entered into Devaki's womb. So when Krishna appeared, and when Balaram appeared, there was great celebrations and great festivals in Gokul. Balaram, being only 15 days older than Krishna, from their very infancy, they were constant companions and best friends. Vasudev brought him across the Yamuna and exchanged him with Yogamaya and put him on the bedside of Yashoda. And in this way, Krishna was born in Gokula. Ultimately, the eternal son of both Yashoda and Devaki. Krishna's limitless powers to reciprocate with devotees in various ways. We have such limitations to try to please someone or be something to someone. But Krishna, who's the cause of all causes, the source of everything that exists, he is Rasa Vihari. There is no limits to his intimately exchanging love with his devotees. And although unlimited, countless devotees are sharing loving exchanges with Krishna, Krishna can give each and every one of us the feeling that he's intimately with me. Sometimes even he's only paying attention to me. Even though we know he isn't, he makes us feel that we are. That is the spiritual world. Krishna and Balaram, they would be on their mother's laps. Yashoda, Mai, Rohini, Devi, they would feed their children the love in the form of the milk from their breasts. And sometimes after a while, they would count little teeth coming into their mouths, and they would share the information with each other. And they would smile and they would laugh. They were filled with love. And as the little children started to crawl, Krishna and Balaram, inseparable, would be crawling together. Sometimes they would grab the tail of a little calf, and the calf would get scared and drag Krishna and Balaram, two different calves, Krishna and Balaram holding onto two little tails, and they would be dragging him through the mud and the wet, fresh cow dung and urine of Sri Braj Bhumi. They would be so happy, and they would appear to be afraid to let go of the tail. And all the gopis, the elder gopis, and Yashoda and Rohini would just smile with their hearts filled with love, because even the simplest things that Krishna and Balaram did were supremely attractive to melt the hearts. It's really incredible. Sometimes the idea of attracting our minds to God, we hear about the tremendous, inconceivable power of God to create or to punish or to facilitate. But in Vrindavan, infinitely deeper attraction and love is when Krishna and Balaram do the most common, ordinary things that any child could do. Grabbing onto a little tail of a calf and being dragged through cow dung and cow urine. That's nothing to write books about when anybody else does it. When Krishna would just be learning how to walk, when Krishna would smile, when Balaram and Krishna would play together in whatever way, anything they did, even the most ordinary, common appearances, would completely flood the residents of Vrindavan with the ecstasy and the joy of love. That is Krishna Balaram. How inseparable they were as brothers, as friends. And Balaram, his only objection was to serve the purpose of Krishna, to please Krishna. And in reciprocation, Krishna only wanted to praise and glorify and honor Balaram. Even God becomes the servant, and then God as Krishna becomes the servant of the servant. In Vrindavan, everyone is serving. In Vrindavan, everyone is conquered by the love of everyone. That is the spiritual world. Infinitely greater than the idea of becoming one with the impersonal, unmanifested Brahman is to enter into the pastimes of this love. Krishna and Balaram, the dynamics of their relationship were so exciting. Even the simplest things thrill us. When Krishna was walking and he learned to steal butter, makhan chor, Balaram was always with him, stealing butter, doing so much mischief, playing so many games at Brahmandagat on the bank of the Yamuna. When Krishna ate dirt, Yashoda Mai scolded Krishna. Why did you eat dirt? Krishna said, I didn't eat dirt, mother. Yashoda Mai said, well, Balaram told me that you ate dirt, and Balaram is your best friend. He's always your well-wisher. Why would he lie against you? And Krishna said, I didn't eat dirt. He's not telling the truth. So as Krishna's elder brother, Balaram, just to be an impetus for these beautiful, loving pastimes, just to be an impetus to the beautiful, loving exchange between Yashoda and Krishna, and to manifest that exchange to all the world for all time to come. Balaram told on Krishna. He spoke apparently against Krishna for Krishna. In this way, Krishna and Balaram lived within this world and manifested their beautiful, beautiful pastimes. Interestingly, oftentimes on Balaram's birthday, we don't hear about him. Balaram would be kept back for his birthday. Because at that time, you know, celebrating a birthday wasn't in just taking gifts, but it was being given the greatest gift to give to others. Nanda Maharaj, Rohini, Yashoda, the foster mother and the real mother of Balaramji, they would have Balaram feeding the cows and feeding the Brijabasis and feeding the Brahmins and offering pujas for the pleasure of the Lord. In this way, everything was giving. And that was the joy that the parents taught the children. The joy of giving. The greatest gift is the opportunity to give. And when parents personify that in their own life, children, it's not something that's forced. It's something that's attracted. Param drishvani vartate, the higher taste. And one day during Balaram's birthday, today is a celebration of when Krishna liberated Agasura. And on the same day today of Balaram Jayanti, after Krishna liberated Agasura, and he was sitting on the banks of Yamuna with his little friends and all the calves, it was then that Lord Brahma stole the calves, and then he stole all the little cowherd boys. And Krishna, apparently just like a little child with a lump of yogurt and fruit in his hands, he was roaming around the rivers, the riverbank and then the forest and the pastures and the valleys and the caves, looking for his friends, but he couldn't find them. And Brahma was watching. Krishna looked so ordinary. And then Brahma, he left that place. He thought he would come back in a moment to see what trouble he did. But in the meanwhile, Krishna expanded himself as every calf and every gopa for a whole year and reciprocated love with everyone. In the spiritual world, no one is envious. Everyone gave the highest honor to Yashoda because she was the mother, and Nanda Maharaj because he was the father. But everyone naturally yearned to have a chance to offer Krishna such intimate services without envy. And Krishna fulfilled everyone's desire because they had no envy. Krishna became every calf and became the personal child of every cow and the personal child of the older gopis and of older gopas, and they had the same experience of ecstatic love as directly being the parent of Krishna, even though they didn't even know it. And all the little cowherd boys, they loved each other for a whole year. They love, each one of them loved each other just like they love Krishna. How wonderful. Without knowing that actually they are Krishna. And when that beautiful event took place, almost the full year expired, when the cow saw little calves at the bottom of Govardhan Hill and they were galloping down in motherly affection to be with their little calves, the cowherd men were running after them in great distress. And when the cows met their calves, they were weeping in ecstasy, licking their bodies and giving profuse, limitless milk of love. And the cowherd men were holding their little children, the cowherd boys, and smelling their heads and caressing them and crying in love. And Balaram was watching this, and he could understand. The whole year, even he didn't know until that day that actually Krishna was in the form of all the gopas and all the calves. And then after 1 year, again it was Balaram's birthday today. And that was the day that Brahma came down and he saw everything just like normal. All the gopas, all the cow, all the calves. And he was wondering what happened. And he would look back and he would see that he had everyone in a mystic slumber. And then he'd come back to Vrindavan and they would be all there playing with Krishna. He became bewildered. Brahma Vimohan, with all of his knowledge, with all of his strength, with all of his magnitude of being Brahma, he could not fathom what he was seeing. And Krishna then manifested the form of Narayan as each calf and each cowherd boy. And there were limitless calves and cowherd boys. And Brahma saw each one of them became Narayan, the supreme personality of Godhead. And he saw around each one were the demigods and the sages and the rishis and all of the energies of material existence and spiritual world worshiping them. And at that point, Brahma became completely stunned, like a doll. And then everything disappeared, and all that remained was Krishna standing with that lump of yogurt, which after a whole year was still perfectly fresh in his hand, and he appeared to be looking for his friends. And it was then that Brahma came down off of his swan carrier and surrendered his life to Krishna. He offered beautiful prayers. And it was when he surrendered his life that he looked up and he could actually see the reality of Vrindavan. Previously, he saw Vrindavan as a beautiful forest. But now, after he humbled himself totally, all of his ego was transcended, and he sincerely took shelter and surrendered to Krishna, he could see the Yamuna as a river from the spiritual world. He could see every tree as a kalpa vriksha, desire tree that could fulfill all our wishes. He saw every grain of sand and dust to be more precious than the jewels of the spiritual, of the heavens. He saw every cow to be kamadenu, a spiritual wish-fulfilling cow. He saw the extraordinary, limitless, incomprehensible beauty of Vrindavan. But that was only revealed to him when he totally humbled himself and surrendered. That's such an important message. We could go to Vrindavan and see so many things, some things we like, some things we don't like, but are we really seeing Vrindavan? Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. We can actually only see Krishna, and we can only truly see Vrindavan in proportion to our love, our surrender. And that love, that surrender, comes through the mercy of Balaram, which is coming through the mercy of the gurus of our parampara and our gurus today. This is the sacred truth. This was the pastime of the Brahma Vimohan Leela that Srila Prabhupada personally translated and gave his Bhaktivedanta purports just before he departed from this material world. How important it is, how intimate it is to everyone, and especially to us. It happened on Balaram Jayanti. Today we are celebrating. One day when Krishna and Balaram and all of their friends were playing together, and they, every possible game they would play, they would imitate the frogs and jump like the frogs and dance like the peacocks. And they would go from branch to branch like monkeys. And they would yell loudly into a well. And when the echo came, they would chastise the echo. So many games. They would play with balls and play with fruits. They would wrestle. Our beloved Acharyas and Sukadeva Goswami tell that they loved to play. And one day while they were playing, cowherd boys, they informed Krishna and Balaram that there is a forest, Talapan, and there are very sweet tal fruits in great abundance, but no one can go there because associates of Kamsa. And Kamsa was trying to do everything he could to find Krishna and kill Krishna and to destroy anything dear to Krishna or near to Krishna. Denuka was a powerful yogi, a mystic, with the most envious, greedy, hateful mentality. But he had powers. He had siddhis. He and his associates took the form of asses. And they would, if anybody came to Talavan, they would kill them and eat them. They would eat humans. They were so angry and so powerful. So when Krishna and Balaram heard about this, they said, let us go. And they entered Talavan. And Balaramji, who is the very personification of spiritual strength, he shook a tal tree and the fruits were coming. When Denukasura heard this, he was outraged. It was in defiance of his rule and control. His ego was inflamed. He ran toward Balaram, turned around, and kicked Balaram repeatedly in his chest. And then he made horrible, horrible sounds of roaring and ran in circles in uncontrolled anger, and then came back to Balaram and was kicking him again and again. And Balaram was just a little boy, just entering the Poganda age of 6 years old. And Balaram at the time, he effortlessly took the rear legs of Denuka and whirled it around his head again and again and again, until the power of Balaram, who was whirling around this immense, gigantic creature, he died from dizziness. And then Balaram threw him like a saucer to the top of a tree. And Denukasura's associates were so angry, they came charging at Balaram, and Krishna and Balaram both did the same thing. Each one, they'd whirl them around and throw them. Denukasura, he was so greedy, and he, like a person who carries the burden of past bad habits, carries the burden of the egoism of their intelligence, their ability to speak, their wealth. Whatever we have is a gift of God. Prakrite kriyamana nirgune karmani sarvasha. Everything is Krishna's property. When we have the false ego that this is mine, and we become proud of that, and we mistreat others like that, it's a burden. It's just bad habits. They're hard to break. But Balaram, who represents the Guru, when we follow those instructions, we get Balaram Shakti to overcome them. Then by the mercy of Balaram, by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, we can actually be freed from the Denukasura-like influence that's keeping us in such a vulnerable condition in this world. And all the cowherd boys celebrated the liberation of Denuka, and Balaram showed his strength. When Balaram and Krishna first appeared, Nanda Maharaj and Basudev arranged for Garga Muni to come to Vrindavan or to Gokul to do a puja and a name-giving ceremony to bless the children. And it was done very privately in a cowshed. And for Balaram, he said, this is because this child was transferred from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. Because this child will unite both the Yadus, the family of Vasudeva, and the family of Nanda Maharaj, the Vrijavasis, his name will be Shankarshan. And because he will give so much ecstatic happiness to the residents of Vrindavan and for anyone who takes shelter of him, his name will be Rama. And because he's the source of all spiritual strength, who enjoys manifesting that spiritual strength and who gives the greatest pleasure to others by bestowing upon them the darshan of his spiritual strength, his name will be Balaram. And Baladev. And because he's the son of Rohini, his name is Rohini Nandan. Because he's the elder brother of Krishna, he is known as Dauji. Krishna and Balaram, one day when they were in the forest, actually one day when Balaram was not with Krishna, that was the day that the cows and the cowherd boys drank the water from a lake that was poisoned, and they all fell unconscious, and Krishna glanced and brought them all back to life. He climbed a kadamba tree and dived into that lake of the most extremely dangerous poison. And emerging from the lake came Kaliya, that great many-hooded serpent. And he attacked Krishna and eventually encircled his coils around Krishna. And Krishna appeared so helpless and so innocent. And when the cows and the cowherd boys saw this, they could not maintain their consciousness. What could they do? The water was steaming with poison. They couldn't go in. At the same time, this massive serpent was encircling Krishna with such evil eyes. They fell unconscious. It was more painful than death to see Krishna in that condition. And there were bad omens. The Vrijavasis from Nanda's house, all the Vrijavasis came running, and they were so worried because that day Balaram stayed back at home. He didn't go with Krishna. Everybody in Vrindavan knew that if Balaram was with Krishna, Krishna was always safe. But today Balaram is home. Nanda and Yashoda and the Vrijavasis, they were all in such terror and such heartbreak. Practically every step they were taking, they were falling down in worry of Krishna. When they finally reached the lake and they saw Krishna in that condition, he showed him, I wanted to just jump in the water and fight the snake, and so did Nanda, even though they were totally helpless. But Balaram was smiling because he knew that Krishna is my younger brother. Krishna is my brother. Nothing that this little snake can do to harm Krishna. So he was actually pacifying the Vrijavasis in a way that was only increasing their love for Krishna. All of the fear, all of the emotion of torment of seeing Krishna in that condition was only increasing and stirring the transcendental happiness of their love for Krishna. And Balaram, he said, Krishna, in my form of Anantasheshi, you never play with me. But now You're playing so nicely with this insignificant little water snake named Kalia. There's nothing that this snake can do to harm my brother. And ultimately, Krishna slipped out of Kalia's coils and danced upon the hoods of his head and brought the greatest happiness to the Prajavasis. One day, just after this Kaliya Leela, it was summertime. Sukadeva Goswami tells how summertime in Vrindavan was so beautiful and refreshing, like the finest of days in the spring. Because the river Yamuna, with such cooling, refreshing water, was creating waterfalls, and there were so many other waterfalls on the hills and the mountains of Govardhan, and they were giving refreshing mists, and those mists carried the pollen of ambrosial nectarine lotus flowers. And the birds were singing so sweetly, and the clouds would come overhead to like umbrellas to shade wherever Krishna and the Brijavasis would walk from the sun. And in this way, Vrindavan was transcendental to any conditions, because Krishna was giving pleasure to his devotees, and devotees only purpose in life was to give pleasure to Krishna. And everyone wanted to give pleasure to each other because everyone knew that Krishna wants to give pleasure to everyone. This is Vrindavan. And one day when the children were playing, they decided to have a special game. On that day, Krishna noticed something. One of his little cowherd boy friends stayed home that day, and an asura, a gigantic, powerful, evil, demoniac person named Pralamba, by his powers, he assumed a replica form of that little cowherd boy. He seemed to speak like him, he looked like him, he dressed like him, with the intention to kill. Krishna is Bhava Grahi Janardana. He sees our intentions. And we cannot hide. We cannot hide from Krishna. We can possibly fool other people in this world and have bad intentions. But Krishna's in our heart. Krishna knows the innermost purpose and intention that we have. And bhakti is about refining and purifying those intentions. So Pralamba played like a little boy, and Krishna was thinking, how to liberate him. So Krishna said to all the little children in the middle of their playing and their games, let us play a game where there's two sides. Balaram will be the leader of one side and I will be the leader of the other. And you could all choose who you want to be with. And the two sides will attack each other. And we will play games, and we will, and whoever loses will have to show everybody that they lost by carrying the winner on their backs. So in this way they played, and were so happy. And in their games, Krishna took them to a place called Bandiravan, where there was an enormous banyan tree that's celebrated in the Vedic literatures. One of the 12 forests of Vrindavan is Bandiravan, where this Bandiravat tree is. And it was there that Balaram's side was victorious. here Krishna and Balaram, they are one and the same person, but they're taking different sides and fighting against each other. This is the play, the Leela of Sri Vrindavan. So Krishna carried Sri Dama on his back. Bhadrasain carried Prishab on his back. And Pralambasura. He took Krishna's sides in this game because he wanted to kill Balaram in a place where Krishna was not close by, because he knew how powerful Krishna was. So he's just a beautiful, innocent-looking cowherd boy. And Balaram's riding on him, and Pralamba ran farther and farther into the forest. And Balaram was thinking, why is this cowherd boy taking me so far? Where is he going? And then he began to think, perhaps this cowherd boy is someone else. So he assumed a very heavy weight. Pralamba was struggling and struggling to move with Balaram, who was now the same size, but he assumed an enormous weight, like a huge mountain. Pralamba, and he couldn't get him off his back either. He became so overwhelmed and so weak, he couldn't hide his real form. And suddenly, he grew to a monstrous size, like a mountain. And he looked so ferocious. His only objection was to kill Balaram. And Balaram, he, in his playful way, he looked worried and confused. That's what happened. My friend has changed in every way. And then with his little tiny fist, he hit Pralamba on the head, and it was like a thunderbolt crashing against a mountain. Pralamba's head cracked open, and he vomited, and he fell to the ground dead. Balaram gave him liberation, but in the process, he revealed his extraordinary strength. But in revealing his extraordinary strength in Vrindavan, he never assumed any great force. He didn't even use a weapon, just used his little hand and did it as if he was playing like a child. And the devatas, seeing this, they showered flowers and garlands on Balaram, and all the children jumped up and they danced and cried out, sadhu, sadhu, well done, well done. And they all embraced Balaramji, and Krishna was so very proud of Balaram. Balaram, his life, his soul, his everything was to serve Krishna. And how much Krishna loved to serve Balaram. Sometimes when they would play in the pastures, Balaramji would rest and lay his head in the lap of a cowherd boy, and Krishna would come and very lovingly massage Balaramji's lotus feet. And sometimes Krishna would make fans out of the leaves and the flowers of Sri Braj Bhumi, and he would fan Balaramji to give him pleasure. And sometimes Krishna, he would praise Balaram. And everything in Vrindavan, the trees and the animals and the Brijabasis, he would praise how they are all gazing upon the beautiful form of Balaram, and they're all bowing down for the pleasure of Balaram. This is the spiritual world. Balaram plays the role of a devotee. Krishna loves to praise his devotees, and his devotees love to praise Krishna. So in this way, Krishna and Balaram perform their beautiful pastimes at the time when Krishna performed his Rasa-lila with Sri Radharani and the gopis, Balaramji, as a Nanda Mandri, would be there to assist, but at the same time, in his original form of Balaramji as the elder brother, he would not be present. But there's a place at Govardhan when Krishna and gopis would perform their Rasa-lila during the springtime at Chandra Sarovar, the Rasa Stali. On the top of Govardhan Hill, close to it, there is a deity of Balaram, Doki Dauji, where he's sitting and he's watching. And he assumes the color of Krishna in this beautiful form because he's so totally ecstatically absorbed in Krishna, seeing the love that he's exchanging with the gopis. So Balaram is everywhere in Vrindavan as Krishna's loving servant and as the loving servant of all beings, making every facility an opportunity for prema to be exchanged. When Akrura, well, even before that, near Govardhan, when Shankachuda came, Krishna and Balaram were actually playing with gopis together, and they were singing and they were dancing, and I believe it was around the time of Holi, and that how they would give pleasure to each other and how they would give pleasure to the gopis. They were singing such beautiful songs. They could sing every note of every scale simultaneously. When Krishna sings, when Balaram sings, when Krishna plays his flute, it's supremely attractive to awaken love from the hearts of their devotees. And Krishna comes to this world to invite us, please accept my love. And that's what Dharma is. To purify ourselves, to show our intention to accept Krishna's love. When Akrura came from Mathura on the instruction of Kamsa, he brought both Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. How inseparable are these two loving brothers of Krishna and Balaram. They both boarded the chariot of Akrura as the gopas and the gopis wept and cried and put their bodies in front of the wheels of the chariot trying to stop. And this beautiful pastime is described so wonderfully in the Brihad Bhagavatam Rita, the Srimad Bhagavatam. Akrura brought Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. And Krishna and Balaram, after some days, after the wrestling match and Krishna defeated Kamsa, they sent Nanda and all the Brijabasis and all the cowherd boys back to Vrindavan, and only Krishna and Balaram and Rohini remained in Mathura. In Dwarka, they made their capital after some years. Balaramji, he manifested his incredible devotional spirit when he liberated Vivida. And there was a time when Samba, one of Krishna's children, he went to Hastinapur to marry Lakshmana. He actually took her away from the Swayamvara. And the Kurus became very angry. And they fought with Samba and ultimately arrested him. And when the Yadus heard about this in Dwarka, they decided to declare war on the Kurus. But Balaram was so favorable to everyone. He said, no, no, let us not do this. Let me go and I'll straighten things out. And he went to Hastinapur. And after he was worshipped by everyone, when he asked for Samba, people became very arrogant. What right do you have? What right do the Yadus have to tell us what to do? We are the Kurus. We are ruling the world. And at that time, Balaram, he took his plow and he hit it against the ground and separated Hastinapur from the rest of the earth and was about to drag it into the river Ganga. And when they saw this enormous power, Bhishma, Drona, all the most powerful warriors of the Kuru dynasty, they all came forward and surrendered their hearts and their lives to Balaram and presented Samba and Lakshmana and performed a wonderful marriage for their pleasure. And they told Balaram, actually, please don't be disturbed. We only did this because we wanted to see you exhibit your incredible, all-attractive, supreme strength. This is Balaram. When the battle of Kurukshetra was to take place, Balaramji, he did not want this battle to happen. Balaram was actually very affectionate to Duryodhana. He was affectionate to both the leaders of the Kurus and the leaders of the Pandavas. He was trying to make things work, as was Krishna. But because he could not take sides, he went on a pilgrimage to holy places when the battle was about to happen. While on pilgrimage, he came to Naimasaranya. And there, so many rishis and sages were gathered to perform a yajna to purify the world, to invoke blessings and auspiciousness upon the world, especially knowing that Kali Yuga was coming. And they all accepted that the person who would preside and be the speaker was Romaharshan Sutta. Romaharshan was one of the favorite disciples and students of Vyasdev, extraordinarily learned. He had such charisma that all the sages and rishis accepted him as their leader. So he was sitting on an elevated seat as all the rest were listening, and Balaram came. When Balaram appeared, everyone stood up except Romaharshan. Romaharshan was so infatuated by the role of leadership that he had that a sense of arrogance polluted his heart. Balaram, who's the super soul in everyone's heart, could understand his intentions. He didn't feel a need to stand up, even for God, because he was so covered over by how great he felt he was. After all, look at everyone is saying I'm so great. They've put me in the highest position. I must be. Balaram wanted to teach the whole world a lesson. He said with anger, transcendental anger, to Romaharshan, although you are a favorite student of Vyasdev, and although you know the Puranas and the Itihashtas and the histories and the Vedas and the Samhitas, you know all the scriptures so thoroughly, and although you're of such a high esteem in everyone's eyes. There's arrogance in your heart. And therefore, this false pride is such a hypocrisy. It's the very contradiction to all good qualities. Balaram, with a single blade of grass, touched Ramaharshan, and Ramaharshan was liberated. He left his body. At that time, these sages, they said to Balaram that we don't know what to do because we just gave him the blessing that he would live a long life and you just killed him. Balaram said, bring his son, because Balaram knew his son had such a pure heart. Sutta Goswami, because the father lives through the son. And Balaram personally anointed Sutta Goswami along with all the other sages to preside over their great sacrifice and to speak the glories of the Lord. And Balaram personally asked for a way to atone. And they told him that there was a asura named Balvala. And he comes and he creates havoc and pollution in the minds of others. And he foils all of their attempts to do something good. So Balaram, with his plow, he liberated Valvala and then continued his pilgrimage. And it's interesting how later on, when there was a great battle between Duryodhana and Bhima, Balaram was favorable to both. And this is a mystery. Sometimes Balaram and Krishna, who are one and the same, who have the exact same intention, sometimes they disagree. But their disagreements are always reconciled in their love for each other. When Arjuna wanted to marry Subhadra, the sister of Krishna and Balaram, daughter of Vasudeva and Devaki, Balaram was against it. Krishna was for it. And how Krishna, in such a beautiful way, while respecting Balaram, developed a strategy by which they could marry. And how he ultimately pacified Balaram. So here we are. Balaram is very much sympathetic to Duryodhana. Now, this seems inconceivable. Duryodhana was envious. Duryodhana was quite demoniac. The Pandavas were such pure and dear devotees, and all the suffering that Kunti endured, why would Balaram be favorable to Duryodhana, who was envious, who was lying, who was cheating, who was exploiting? Krishna, on the side of the Pandavas, made sure that the battle of Kurukshetra was won by Dharmaraj, by those who represent pure devotion and Dharma. Now, we cannot understand the mind, Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vigyan Abhujai. It is said you cannot even understand the mind of a true Vaishnava, what to speak of God. Balaram, everything he did as Krishna's loving servant was for the pleasure of Krishna and for the ultimate good of all living beings. But he had this lila. And this lila of trying to bring out the good in everyone, even the worst, was especially manifest in his next incarnation as Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Dinahina yata chilo harinama udharilo tara sakshi jagai madhai. Lord Balaram appeared as Nityananda Prabhu, to bestow mercy even on the most envious and fallen souls. Srila Prabhupada often quotes from Narottam Das Thakur, Purajendra Nandana Jay Sachi Shuta Hailoshe Balarama Hailonitai. That Lord Krishna, the son of Nanda, appeared as the son of Sachi, Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And Balaram appeared as Nitai, Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Balaram appeared in his next incarnation in Eka Chakra, his eternally sacred birthplace. And there he performed beautiful leelas of Krishna and Balaram. And so often he took the role of Krishna, and so often he took the role of Balaram in beautiful play games and dramas he performed with his little friends. But ultimately, Nityananda Prabhu, as Balaram, his only purpose was to give pleasure to Lord Chaitanya Krishna, to facilitate and assist the mission of Krishna. In Goloka, Balaram is bringing all the devotees so many opportunities to love and serve Krishna, and giving Krishna limitless opportunities and facilities to serve the devotees. This exchange of love, this prema rasa, is the only purpose, the only existence in the spiritual world. But when Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda came to this world, they especially came to give the opportunity to enter this leela to even the most fallen souls of Kali Yuga. Paramakaruna, Pahunduijana, Nitai, Gaurachandra. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu, they are supremely merciful. Paramakaruna, supreme mercy, supreme kindness, supreme grace. That is their purpose. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu, along with Haridas Thakur, the Namacharya, who taught by his example the glories of the chanting of God's name as the Yuga Dharma and the most precious benediction in all of this universe. Krishna's descended as his names, and he's given access to his beautiful form, his beautiful qualities, his abode, his eternal circle of devotees through the pure chanting of the holy names. Trinada Visuni Chena Taror Ivasa Hishnuna Amani Namanadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Humility like grass, tolerance and forgiveness like tree, eagerness to offer all respect to others and not to demand or expect respect for oneself. When we can cultivate these values in our life, then Krishna reciprocates when we chant his holy names and actually reveals the higher taste. And ultimately uncovers Prema Pumartha Mahan Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunai Sravanadi Sudhichati Koriya Yudhoi. Mahaprabhu's teaching that love for Krishna, prema, is within our hearts. By associating with those who are aspiring to love Krishna and by chanting Krishna's names and glories, this love is awakened. Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, Gaura Chandra Bole. Wake up, sleeping souls, to the love that's within our heart, to the happiness that we're all seeking. Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. The greatest benediction Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda has given us in the Sankirtan of the holy names. Lord Chaitanya instructed Nityananda Prabhu in Navadvip to go to everyone without discrimination, without considering proper time or place or person, give everyone the opportunity to worship Krishna, to remember Krishna, to chant Krishna's name, to hear about Krishna. Krishna's your mother, your father. He's the treasure of your life and soul. This was the message that Lord Chaitanya gave for Nityananda and Haridas to share. Jagai and Madhai, they were so cruel, so envious, so disrespectful. They committed every type of sinful criminal activity. And nobody could stop them. They had such power. And they even attempted to kill Nityananda Prabhu. But still Nityananda Prabhu was willing to accept being beaten in the head with them and bleeding profusely and just pray, please accept Krishna's names. Please accept Krishna's mercy. And when Lord Chaitanya came to punish Jagai and Madhai and manifested death personified and as Sudarshan Chakra appeared, Nityananda Prabhu with tears of compassion in his eyes begged Lord Chaitanya to give them love of God, Krishna Prema. And Jagai and Madhai became Paramhamsas, Mahabhagavats, great saints, lovers of Krishna, entered into the inner circle of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda's circle of devotees. This was Nityananda Prabhu. As Balaram with his blade of grass, he conquered Romaharshan, who was a hypocrite, who was misleading society. But as Nityananda, he took that blade of grass and put it between his teeth as a sign of humility and went to the same types of people and even more. And he fell on his knees and bowed down to them with folded hands, begged them, please. Lord Chaitanya has come to give you Krishna Prema. Take Krishna's names. Be with Krishna's devotees. Feel the joy of loving Krishna. He would beg. And even if he was rejected, he just kept begging. That is the mercy of Lord Nityananda, which is the fullest manifestation of the love and the compassion of Lord Balaram. Just as the fullest manifestation of Krishna's mercy came as Lord Chaitanya. In Vrindavan, there are perhaps 5,000 temples of Radha Krishna. There's Radha Gopinath, Radha Shamsunda, Radha Raman, Radha Govinda, Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Vijay Govinda, Radha Giridhari. So many temples of Radha and Krishna. And if we go to Vrindavan today, as it has been for so long, people address each other, Radhe Radhe, Jai Shri Radhe, Radhe Shyam, or Hare Krishna. Hare is Radha's name. So always Radha Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, he established a temple in Ramanreti. And in that temple is Sri Sri Radha Shamsundar. Actually, what to speak of devotees of ISKCON throughout the whole world, even the Brijbasis, it's almost unanimously accepted among Brijbasis throughout the whole Braj Bhumi, that out of the thousands of temples of Radha Krishna, the deity of Srimati Radharani on the altar in ISKCON's temple is the most beautiful, most loving, attractive form of Srimati Radharani. Radha Shyam Sundar. And in reciprocation of Srila Prabhupada's love, Srimati Radharani has manifested such a beautiful, merciful, attractive form. Yet, although the most beautiful forms of Krishna in all of Vrindavan are there on the altar, Srila Prabhupada put Krishna Balaram in the center altar and named the temple Krishna Balaram Mandir. Why? Srila Prabhupada's following the footsteps of all the acharyas. And practically all the acharyas, their temples are Radha Govinda, Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Shyam Sundar. But Srila Prabhupada, he named the temple Krishna Balaram and put them in the center-focused altar. Why? Narottam Das Thakur, in his beautiful song, Nitai Pada Kamala Koti Chandra Shushitala, that Lord Nityananda, Balaram's mercy, the shade of their lotus feet is refreshingly cool, like tens and millions of moons. The shade of the shelter of Lord Nityananda and Balaram's mercy relieves us from the scorching heat of material existence. He tells that without the mercy of Lord Nityananda, one cannot enter into the loving pastimes of Sri Sri Radha Govinda. In this world, the Guru and the Guru Tattva is coming from Balaram Nityananda Prabhu. And to be the servant of the servant of the servant in this way is the way to become purified. And in a purified state, by the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, he gives us to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahiyanya. Lord Chaitanya is Radha Krishna. Krishna has appeared with the loving, ecstatic Mahabhav of Sri Radharani and her beautiful golden complexion. That is Lord Chaitanya. And giving the love of Sri Radha, giving her own love in her own special way, without discriminating who is fit or who is unfit in this age of Kali Yuga, giving. Lord Chaitanya on many occasions has said that without the mercy of Nityananda, one cannot approach me. So Nityananda Prabhu is giving us entrance into Radha and Krishna's eternal lila. That is Balaram. And Balaram and Krishna appeared in this world as Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And Srila Prabhupada took that mercy of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya to the whole world. Srila Prabhupada was living at the Radha Damodar temple of Sri Jiva Goswami, of Sri Rupa Goswami, right at the heart of the place of Seva Kunj where the Rasa Leela is eternally taking place. That's Srila Prabhupada's home, peacefully residing there. But he departed Vrindavan externally only to take the treasures of Vrindavan's love, the Vrindavan's Leela, wherever he went and share it with the world. He came to New York, San Francisco, Los Angeles. He went to Germany, he went to London, he went to Africa, he went to South America, he went to Russia, he went to Australia. traveled all over India. He went to Iran in the Middle East. In the mood of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. The extent of mercy comes through Lord Nityananda, who is Balaram. So Srila Prabhupada gave special feature to Krishna and Balaram to understand that without Balaram's mercy, none of this is possible. And through their mercy, we can enter into the eternal loving pastimes of the all-attractive, eternally supreme object of love, Srimati Radharani and Krishna. Srila Prabhupada's wisdom, the depth of his compassion, because he is Balaram Tattva, he is Nityananda Tattva, he is carrying their mercy into our lives and into the whole world. Balaram Jayanti is a day when we can remember and be grateful for the most precious gift that we've all been given, and to inspire us to share this gift with others, which was the mood of Lord Balaram Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya and Krishna. And to express our gratitude by receiving what we've been given. We've been given the instructions to sincerely chant the names of the Lord every day, to take shelter of the holy names attentively with humility, to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada tirelessly translated and wrote purports so that throughout time we would have this access to the Lord's mercy, to fill our hearts with hearing and chanting, to fill our hearts with appreciation to the community of Vaishnavas. In Lord Nityananda's Leela, when Prataparudra was rejected by Lord Chaitanya, he was devising so many ways to somehow or other bring Prataparudra Maharaj to receive the mercy of the Lord. When Kal Krishnadas was rejected by Lord Chaitanya, Nityananda Prabhu devised so many wonderful ways by which Kal Krishnadas could receive the mercy of the Lord. Nityananda Prabhu, Balaram, their leela is to bring all of us together under the shelter of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we are a family. Gaudiya Vaishnav society is a wonderful, wonderful family of people who are united despite all of our differences and in so many ways, and we're united under the principle of receiving the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, sharing it with each other as a community, uplifting each other as a community, and as a community, sharing it with the whole world. Paramakaruna. To be little instruments within this limitless ocean of supreme compassion. Srila Prabhupada opened the doors for all of us to enter into these pastimes. So let us pray to Lord Balaram on this day for the spiritual strength to remain faithful and overcome quarrel, hypocrisy, and all of these lower tendencies by absorbing ourselves in bhakti, in Krishna consciousness. I don't know exactly who's with me today. When I'm speaking on Balaram Jayanti at Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple, I'm seeing all the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful devotees who I honor and I worship with all my heart. And I try to receive your enthusiasm, and whatever little I can speak that's of any value is really reciprocating with your enthusiasm the best I can. Today I'm just looking at a lens of a camera, and I'm not seeing anyone with my eyes, but we need to adjust. In my heart, I'm picturing each and every one of you, and I'm feeling empowered and blessed by your presence in my mind and in my heart. And I want to pray to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath and to Srila Prabhupada to shower their blessings and their mercy and their divine grace upon each of you. Please, each of our bodies is a precious property of Srila Prabhupada and Radharani and Krishna. Be safe. Do everything within your power to preserve this body as the storm of this pandemic is inflicting itself upon the world. Do everything you can to protect yourself. Be in good health. Prabhupada was very concerned with our health. And when we really are trying to protect our health for the purpose of preserving our lives, physical lives, for the service of Krishna, which is so much needed. In this age of Kali, every single devotee is so precious. And every devotee that's lost is such a loss. Recently, my very beloved godbrother, Ramdas Abhiram Das, who was one of the great artists along with his wife, Driti, who revealed such beautiful manifestations of Vrindavan, the spiritual world. Prabhupada called their art windows into the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada has taken him from this physical world. Let us all offer our gratitude to Ramdas Abhiram Das Prabhu and pray to Srila Prabhupada to bless him in every way. And of course, we have all suffered great separation from His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj, one of Srila Prabhupada's most illustrious, empowered, loving associates, who illuminated the world by his singing, by his speaking, by the wonderful acts of devotion that he personified at every moment. His great Shruti Dharma Prabhu, one of our dearmost friends and the leader of so many devotees who humbly serve the Vaishnava community as his only purpose in life. To all the family and the followers and the well-wishers of these great souls and others who are leaving, let us offer our hearts gratitude and prayers. But in bhakti, our connection is inseparable. And today, 2020, Balaram Jayanti, in these difficult and extraordinary circumstances, let us, from our heart of hearts, seek shelter of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, of Krishna and Balaram's mercy, through the divine grace of Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas. and let us share that in whatever way possible with one another. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananti Koti Vaishnava Brinda Ki Jai. Sri Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai. Shri Nitai Goda Chandra Ki Jai. Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai. Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Marge, for the address. And thank you so much for everyone attending. We just wanted to make the announcement that His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj will also be addressing the devotees across the world next week for Janmashtami. That will be 8 o'clock Indian time, 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, and 3:30 for the devotees in the UK. So thank you so much, Maharaj, once again for taking the time to address us all today and elaborately sharing all these wonderful pastimes. Thank you, Maharaj.
श्रीमद् भागवतम क्लास देने का उन्होंने निश्चय किया है और बड़े बिजी है प्रभु जी, गोवर्धन कॉलेज में रहकर बहुत सारा सेवा कर रहे हैं, लेकिन क्योंकि उनको बड़ा प्रेम है नवी मुंबई के डिवोटीज के प्रति, तो उन्होंने विचार करके आज संडे का डेट दिया था हमें, और सुबह जो कल जो बलराम जयंती का जो फेस्टिवल है इसके उपलक्ष्य में आज वो क्लास देंगे। गौरांग प्रभु को सब भक्त जानते होंगे, लेकिन हमारे शुद्धता, हमारे प्यूरिफिकेशन शुद्धता के लिए हम कुछ बताएंगे गौरांग प्रभु के बारे में। गौरांग प्रभु ये 1992-93 के समय, उस समय अपने कॉलेज में पढ़ रहे थे आईआईटी में, मुंबई में बीटेक कर रहे थे, तो उस समय वो अंतर्राष्ट्रीय कृष्ण भावनामृत संघ के संपर्क में आए। तत्पश्चात 1995 में उन्होंने मंदिर ज्वाइन किया और 1995 से अब तक अलग अलग सेवाओं में वो संलग्न रहे हैं। पहले मंदिर में वो प्रचार कार्य आरंभ किया, जो हमारे यूथ प्रचार होता है अभी इस्कॉन चौपाटी का, उसके जो मेन डायरेक्टर गौरांग प्रभु कुछ बहुत सालों तक रहे, उनके अध्यक्षता में बहुत प्रचार हुआ। फिर गौरांग प्रभु उसके बाद वाइस प्रेसिडेंट इस्कॉन चौपाटी के बने, बाद में परम पूज्य राधानाथ महाराज ने उनको गोवर्धन इको विलेज प्रोजेक्ट दिया। तो आप बहुत सारे लोग जानते होंगे गोवर्धन इको विलेज के बारे में, कैसे कुछ छोटे समय में इतना बड़ा प्रोजेक्ट खड़ा हुआ और बड़ा सराहनीय प्रोजेक्ट है। तो गोवर्धन इको विलेज को भी गौरांग संभाल रहे। तत्पश्चात गौरांग